Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We have been sealed because God's doing a work inside of us. We are sealed as a letter He sends out into the world, that people can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are ambassadors of Christ, the Bible says, as if we are imploring the people to come to Christ. That's what we're doing.
If you are a child of God, you belong to the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is alive inside of us, leading us, guiding us, uniting us, and reminding us how to walk in the Spirit as we battle our flesh. We are in Galatians 5:16 through 26, arming ourselves against our flesh by walking in the Spirit of the living God. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
We are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We can help our thoughts by what we listen to. We can help our thoughts by what we're watching. We can make decisions today that will help us. And here's where you could get legalistic, right? Here's where you could start going, you can't watch that, you can't listen to that. But we have freedom. And we don't want to get legalistic because then pride sneaks in. Instead, we just want to walk in the Spirit and be close to Jesus. We just want God to work in righteousness in us because we are delighting in Him. He's doing the work of righteousness. I'm not even having to do it because He's already doing it. In Acts 1:8, this is the power of the Spirit on you. It says, He said to His disciples, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." Now, the fact that it says ends of the earth there, I realize that these disciples went all over the world, but I think that it speaks of you and me as well, not to just these 12 men, but that they were to go all around the world, and we are here in Tucson and can be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit would come upon you. This is a word that's used in the book of Acts to talk about the anointing, what I would call the anointing or the empowering. I don't have any problem with any of the words people use for the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit, the receiving the Holy Spirit coming upon you, the overflowing of the Spirit. I like all those words. I don't have a problem with any of them. There's even one passage in Acts chapter 8 where it says that talking about them being baptized in the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, it says, "For they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus." So it's not calling it directly baptism of the Spirit, but it is talking about them having hands laid on them and receiving the Spirit and saying they had only been baptized, so that there is a baptism of the Spirit. A lot of people will say, that's not accurate, that's not correct. It's like, that verse makes me think maybe that's otherwise. At the very least, it's not a violation of anything. But to be baptized in the Spirit, the word baptism means immersed. To have the Holy Spirit immerse us, come upon us, that we'll share our faith. And I don't know about you, I need help with that. I need help being able to share Christ with the people around me. He will guide you in all truth. It says in John 16:12-13, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come," note it's a He. We probably should point that out when we're talking about a sermon on the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. It's not a power. When Star Wars came out in 1976, a friend of mine said, "This is an amazing movie. You got to go see it because it's got the Holy Spirit in it." And I went to go see it. It was like, these are not the droids you're looking for. I'm like, I don't think the force is, it's not a force. The Holy Spirit isn't a force. It's a person. He, the Spirit of truth, has come. When He has come, He will guide you into all truth. We're looking for the Spirit to guide us into truth. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is going to be working with the things Jesus said, bringing us the Scriptures. The Bible says all Scripture has been inspired by God. The Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures to be written. It's two more verses, then we'll take a look at our text, I think. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." You trusted in Christ after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit sealed you. That's a sign of ownership. The idea is a ring that seals a letter and he gives it to someone. This is from me. We have been sealed because God's doing a work inside of us. We are sealed as a letter he sends out into the world that people can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are ambassadors of Christ, the Bible says, as if we are imploring the people to come to Christ. That's what we're doing. Finally, the Spirit is involved in salvation. I should say a continuation of that thought. The Spirit is involved in our salvation. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now, this is not water baptism. Baptism simply means to be immersed. And the New Testament uses baptism in all kinds of different ways. So those who believe in baptismal regeneration will take every passage where baptism is mentioned and make that water baptism. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. We're immersed into the body of Christ when we're saved, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. We all have the same Spirit. Doesn't matter what we look like, doesn't matter where we come from, we all have the same Spirit. Now, this is the Spirit that we are supposed to walk in, that we're to keep in sync with, that we are to keep in step with. So let's look at verse 16. For I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the reason I went over all of those verses was to be able to get really practical about how you walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? You have fellowship with the Spirit. You set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You don't set your mind on the things of the flesh. You get really practical about where the Spirit will lead you and guide you. Now, the Holy Spirit is responsible for everything that is written within the Word of God. And we walk in the Spirit when we obey Scripture. If the Bible tells us to do something and we go, I don't want to do that. Now, I want to say, well, the Bible tells us to do something rightly dividing the Word of God. Because there's a lot of people that want to wrongly divide the Word of God for you. They want to lay trips on you. But when you're studying the Scriptures and the Scripture is clear and it says to do something, you are walking in the Spirit when you are doing the things that are within the Word. To not do it is disobedience. However, the Holy Spirit will also move in us as to Elijah, a still small voice, as Jesus said, like a wind we can't see. And at times we are influenced by the Spirit. And I heard a pastor say, one that I respect, by the way, but I don't agree with him on this, say that if you are influenced by the Spirit, you're on your way home, and this is his exact analogy, you're on your way home and you think, I should go home a different way. And you don't follow that, then you're disobedient to the Spirit. The reason that I think that that's a problematic is because, am I going to teach you to follow your, inclinations? Where might it lead you? You know, you call your wife from, Bangkok. I felt led by the Spirit. I knew I couldn't be disobedient. I had to go. Certainly, we have our own desires. We have our own inclinations. It's hard enough for us to figure out if something that we hear in our mind is from us or if it's God or if it's the devil. We got all those problems. So, yeah, learning to be influenced by the Spirit. The Spirit's not going to tell you to do anything like go to Bangkok without telling your wife. The Spirit's going to tell you to do things that you can go, this is in step with the Spirit. This is in line with what the Spirit wants. You know, you have an inclination. I feel like God wants me to go pray with that homeless man. Well, then go pray with him. That's great. The Holy Spirit's telling me to buy that new boat. Yeah. Or you might want that new boat, right? So when you are moved by the Spirit, you want to receive that. You see that enough in the New Testament. You don't see it a lot. Don't think it's like something that happens every day. This is what happens to people as they start to get into this world and they're like, I was moved by the Lord to eat Fruit Loops this morning. And then this afternoon, I was moved by God to go down this road. It's just kind of like an overly, our main thing is to be obedient to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And then to learn that the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us into doing things that he wants us to do. The Bible says that Paul was forbade by the Holy Spirit to go up into Asia. He wanted to go east from Galatia, and the Holy Spirit forbade him. And then we find out that Paul had an eye disease that flared up when he was in Galatia. Yeah, the Holy Spirit? I kind of want the Holy Spirit to work differently in my life than flaring up some kind of a disease. But maybe he just really wanted to go, and God's like, I'm going to have to do something here. Now, he tells us that this principle is important because there's a battle going on inside of you. The principle is walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The battle is verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's actually a battle going on inside of me where my flesh wants to do opposite of what my Spirit wants to do, and the Spirit of God wants to do opposite with my flesh. So this battle takes place inside of me, and there's a battle inside of each one of us. How strong is this battle? And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. We end up not doing what we want to do because there's a battle going on inside of us. And so part of this is recognizing I have a sin nature. When I was born again, my sin nature wasn't taken away. And if I cater to that sin nature, it is going to produce sinful things in my life. And if I cater to my new nature and the Spirit of God, my new spiritual life, the Spirit inside of me that's been quickened and brought to life, then I'm going to do spiritual things. I'm going to do godly things. And as I even quoted, God even does them inside of us when we delight ourselves in the Lord, which I just can't get over how much I love that verse and how I just rarely heard anybody bring it up. That God will produce righteousness if you delight yourself in Him. So you end up not doing the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Paul is still on his thing. These false teachers have still gone into Galatia. They're still making them under the law. And Paul is like, why would you want to live by the law when you could walk by the Spirit? That's his point. Look, you've got this great, you walk by the Spirit. You're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got this battle going on inside of you. You're catering to your flesh and you're failing. And the law can't give you any power, can't give you any help. But the Spirit of God indwells you to be able to help you to be able to take care of that. Now he's going to give a list, and I'm going to read these, but I'm going to take a break here, and we're going to pick this up next week because I don't want to hurry over these last few verses. So in verse 18, he says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. And he gives a list of the works of the flesh. And the first four are sexual. So he says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, and lewdness. And those are all sexual references, different ways. And I point that out because people justify anything. And there's more justification going on in the days that we're living with progressive Christianity than at any other time. All sin is being justified now. We're talking about adultery, fornication, homosexuality, just all kinds of sin is being justified. And we just need to be really careful because progressive Christianity is teaching in churches, and it's crept so far into churches, it's unbelievable. To follow your heart and see what you want to do. If there's ever a sure way for you to end up in sin, it's to follow your heart. We believe that there's original sin in everyone. Progressive Christians believe everyone is basically good. That's what they teach. Everybody's basically good. And you've just got to find that inner goodness inside of you. And so you end up being tolerant of sin, which leads people into sin and all kinds of things happening in our society. We're living in a day when promiscuity has become as great as ever before. When there's talk of shutdowns, I'm not saying anybody's seriously considering it, but talk of shutdowns for monkeypox, which is as close to an STD as you can get without really being an STD. That's how it's spread. But they don't talk about that. You never see them talk about that in studies. I mean, in news stories. They never talk about it. They just talk about how there's this outbreak of this that's going on. And I realize little ears are listening. I don't want to go too much into detail. But it's worth us saying that sexual purity is a powerful thing. And we want to give it to God. But we also have that strong sexual pull, which God gave us because God wanted us to have kids. And so God gave it to us for a reason. It's a gift from God, but he didn't give it to us to rule over it, us. He gave it to us for us to rule over it. That we would walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and give God that kind of purity. And all of these words would encompass every kind of sexual sin that you could imagine. Then he goes on to say, after these first four, he says, idolatry, which is living for something else, having something higher than God, which we could easily have in our lives, could live for something more than we do God. Sorcery, which is the word pharmakeia, which fits today as well, because there's all kinds of people who are using drugs. We get our word pharmacy from it. It doesn't mean pharmacy, but we get the word pharmakeia from sorcery. And in the ancient world, they would take trips to get spiritual insight. And that's happening today. People are using psychedelics and mushrooms and psilocybin, other drugs, to be able to have spiritual insight. Paul says, this is of the flesh. It's not of the Spirit. The American Indians did it with peyote. South America does it with, I can't remember the name of the drug, but there's a lot of it going on. And a lot of people who are trying to find a spiritual awakening by taking some kind of a trip on one of these drugs. And some of them are brutal trips as well. I just wanted to bring it up because it's of the flesh. Just in case you think, well, maybe I'll gain some spiritual insight by going on this trip. And with all the legalization of drugs that's happening today, you're not going to gain spiritual insight. And I think we could apply the be not drunk with wine to it as well as this. It says sorcery, hatred, it's work of the flesh. We kind of understand that. Contentions, to be contentious. Do you know you cannot be an elder in a church if you're contentious? That's one of the requirements, not contentious. Contentious is just picking fights. I can't tell you how many times I'll have a conversation with someone and it's just contentious. And I try to stop it. I'll say, you know what, I'm not going to talk to you anymore because this is not out of love. You can say anything you want to me. You just need to say it out of love. And I'll be direct. You can say anything, and you really can. It just can't be mean. It can't be full of contention because that's not of the Spirit. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath. And jealousies, by the way, there can be a righteous jealousy. There can be, you know, God can be righteous for his people who were in idolatry. A husband can have a jealousy for his wife. A wife can have a jealousy for her husband. That's a righteous jealousy. These kind of jealousies are, look at all they've got and I've got nothing. That's this jealousy. The jealousy that is jealous of their lives. And outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambition. Bible says do nothing for selfish ambition. Dissensions. Divisions, looking for those divisions all the time. Heresies. Heresies. False teachings are work of the flesh. Why? Because people usually have a reason for giving them. They usually got their own reason why they're teaching heresies. They're not honestly dissecting the word of God because they have their own goals and desires. Heresies. Envy. Murders, which we know what's wrong. Although we live in a day when there's justification of the of taking of life, of a human life that's unborn. Drunkenness, revelries, which is carousing, and the like. That's not even all of them, he says. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So once you look at this list, the point that is being made is, if you practice these things, it's not that there might not be a temptation. It's not even that if you fail to one of these areas that you cannot come to God and find forgiveness. God's grace is immense. His mercies are new every morning. But if you practice it, you don't have the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people that practice certain kinds of sin. And I'm really trying hard not to channel Allen Iverson right now, just so you know. Not a game. Not talking about a game. Talk about practice. Anyway. Maybe too old of a reference for you guys to really get. But it's practice, like a doctor practices medicine. Are you practicing sin? Or are you saying to God, I want righteousness and I want to walk in the Spirit and I want to love you and I want to follow you and I delight myself in you? Here we get the stepping stones that helped us to be preemptive so that we don't give in to these things. That although they're justified by the world and justified by a large portion of the church, there's a large portion of the church that would say that the message I'm bringing you today is toxic. when it's the Word of God to help you be free. That's what He wants. Free. Free to be able to walk with Him, free to be able to discover the truth, free to be able to have the true freedom that God wants you to have. And so if you are practicing these things, then you need to look and see, have I genuinely made a commitment to Christ? Have I moved? And I'm not saying that you haven't if you practice in them. I'm just saying there's a warning here. You need to take heed to the things we talked about earlier about walking in the Spirit and being preemptive in your life towards sin and delighting in God and abiding in the vine. You need to do all of those things so you can get that practice out of your life, because no one who practices them will inherit the kingdom of God. That's not to say you can't be forgiven now. It's just to say this is what the Word of God says. And when you really come to dealing with that righteousness, you say, I want to give you that righteousness. Now we'll start next week with the fruit of the Spirit. So now we have a whole teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, and I won't hurry through it. Stand up with me, would you? And let's pray together. Stand up with me anyway. Let me give you a couple of thoughts in closing. All right. Number one, be aware of the battle that is within you. Be aware as a Christian that your flesh is going to be driving towards the things of the flesh, which we saw the list of. And your spirit is going to be wanting the things of the Spirit. So keep in step with the Spirit in order to overcome those. Number two, the works of the flesh bring corruption. It's not just that the actual act itself is bad, but it's what the result of that act is. It brings corruption. And that's why we don't want it. You sow to the flesh, from the flesh you reap corruption. You do those things and it brings corruption in your life. And finally, do the positives and you will be a better fighter in the negatives. I'm not saying do the positives and you'll never have to fight the negatives. I'm saying do the positive and you'll be a better fighter in the negatives. You'll win more often. You'll stand your ground more often if you're doing the things that are positive. And how much better to go out saying, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Tomorrow, I'm going to delight in God. And the next day, I'm going to delight in Him more than I did tomorrow. And the next day, I'm going to delight. How much better is that instead of just fighting against the sin? And suddenly, you find yourself walking in victory. Pray with me, would you? Father, thank you so much for the time that we're able to spend as we look at your word here and we see these passages that help us to understand that we should use what we have for you, our freedom, to be edified and to edify our spirit, that we would walk in love towards the people around us, and that we would stay in sync with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, that we might really be able to avoid the lusts of the flesh. We thank you for all that we learned tonight about the Spirit, and help us to walk in it, be empowered by it, anointed. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray. Cause your Holy Spirit to come upon us. Baptize us in the Spirit. Fill us, strengthen us. Let your Holy Spirit overflow. Fill us, we ask. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.